Choir, what a sweet time this has been this morning to worship the Lord together. This has been a difficult week for the garrisons. Libby and I attended the funeral yesterday of a longtime friend who lives here in Bartlett, Miss Diana Flora, the wife of Roy Flora, who was the chairman of the pastor search committee at Bartlett Baptist Church, that contacted me when I was serving a church in Gulfport, Mississippi. He said, "I'd like to talk to you about coming to Bartlett, Tennessee." I said, "Where?" Never heard of Bartlett, Tennessee, but it was one of the sweetest seasons of our lives, our 9 years while we were there. It's been a difficult week emotionally to say goodbye. But you know, when somebody knows and loves the Lord, you don't really say goodbye. You may say goodnight, but not goodbye. One of my dearest friends that I made when we moved to the Bartlett area in 1986 was a pastor friend of mine, Dr. Wayne Allen. Dr. Wayne Allen was the founder of Briarcrest Baptist Schools, which at that time was the largest independent Christian school in the country. Wayne Allen was the pastor of the Briarwood Baptist Church, and I was fortunate that he became one of my absolute dearest friends. Wayne struggled with health issues for a long, long time, and he became very critical with heart failure. And I believe it was Baptist East where he was when I went to see him. And it was the last time that I had the opportunity to visit with him. He was short of breath, so it was hard for him to talk. He was weak, so he couldn't get up out of bed. And I visited with him and told him how much I loved him and thanked the Lord for him. And he was a great mentor and an encourager to me. In fact, Dr. Rogers and I preached his funeral together at Bellevue. But I remember that day, the last day that I went to see him in the hospital, we'd prayed together. I turned and I walked out the side of his bed and was about to exit the room. And Wayne started singing, "If we never meet again, this side of heaven." And I'll never forget that moment. And as I walked down that hall, tears streaming down my face, I thought, "Thank you, Lord, for the promise of a place called heaven. Eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, nor hath it entered into the hearts and the imaginations of men, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him." I'll talk to you for just a moment this morning because I need to be reminded about heaven's homecoming. Heaven's homecoming. I tell you what, at our church where I was raised, it was a wonderful time. Every summer, we would have homecoming at Bethlehem Baptist Church. Have dinner on the ground. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Good old homecomings. And your folks would come back that you hadn't seen in a long, long time. And what a wonderful reunion that'll be. But what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face and tell the story, saved by grace. And what a day that'll be when we see our loved ones again. The next time we see Tim and our other loved ones who've gone on to glory, They're going to remind us that they've been blessed beyond measure since we saw them last. Heaven's homecoming. And I want to select maybe what seems like one unusual passage and then two very familiar passages. The unusual passage is Psalm 23. There probably is no passage anywhere that is more familiar to the people of God than Psalm 23. But it's even sweeter when you realize that Psalm 23 is the account of David as he records his own experience as a shepherd early in the spring as he leaves the home pasture and the ranch, if you will, the farm, and goes out into the fields and the mountains and takes the sheep on their journey. And then toward the end of the summer season, he brings them back home. And really, it's a story about life. It's a story about the journey God takes us on and the journey God's taking us to. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I love what the little first grader said in Sunday school. When our Sunday school teachers asked them to give their rendition of the 23rd Psalm, and choir, this first grader, as sweetly as little children can, said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." You see, that's true. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, a picture of peace and tranquility. He leadeth me beside the still waters, a picture of refreshment. He restoreth my soul, a picture of redemption, a picture of a cast sheep that has fallen over into a crevice. Now you see, some sheep and I have some things in common. Some sheep are a little bit, shall I say, on the heavy side. And they might get tilted over and get off center and stumble into a crevice and fall into a small ravine, and they can't get up because of their proportions. Y'all will see what I'm saying. Bobby, you with me, son? Amen. And the shepherd with that hook and that staff would reach and wrap it around that cast sheep and lift him out of the crevice and out of the ravine. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, God's not given us dying grace right now because we don't need it right now. But at the moment that God calls us home, I want to tell you, there's going to be grace sufficient for God to prepare our hearts so that we'll be able to say, "Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready." And when Tim was eating supper with his family, who could have known that within just a few moments everything would change for the rest of our lives? But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Aren't you grateful you won't ever have to face anything alone? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When I was growing up, I don't see this anymore. I'm kind of dating myself, Jack. We'd sit at the breakfast table, and Mama would serve Daddy coffee in a cup and in a saucer. We don't do that anymore. And Daddy would take it. You know what he'd do, don't you? You know what he'd do, don't you, choir? He'd pour his coffee out of his cup into his saucer and sip the coffee out of the saucer. And I thought, why in the world do you do that? I don't know. But I do know this. As I've grown older, I've realized my cup has overflown a whole lot of times. And I'm drinking from the saucer of the Lord's blessings. He's a good, good God. My cup runneth over. Surely, by the way, there's a wonderful book that talks about the shepherd's psalm. Philip Keller writes it. Anything you can get by him, you need to read it. And one of the chapters is God's sheepdogs. God's sheepdogs. If you wonder who dogs God's sheepdogs are, they're named Goodness and Mercy. There surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It was on a Thursday night, most scholars believe, that our Lord gathered together his disciples. And it's recorded in John 14. You'll find that familiar passage there because it was the night before our Lord was going to Gethsemane to pray, and the night before he was going to be betrayed, and our Lord was about to go to the cross the next morning and the horrible suffering he would experience before then. And he gathers the disciples together in their hour of sadness because during his tenure with them, during these 2.5-3 years of ministry, the disciples just never quite got it that Jesus was going to have to leave them. But that night, the light began to break through, and Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a comforter, and he'll be with you, and I'm going to be gone, but he'll comfort you." And their hearts are broken. And I imagine there were some tears that were shed. And that's what caused Jesus to say, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now let me give you the Jackie K paraphrase. You've trusted in God all this time. Now at the most difficult time in your life, when Jesus is about to leave, they've left their fishing nets to follow this man. Dr. Luke left his medical practice. And the others had left meaningful places of service, and they weren't left to follow Jesus, but now he's going to leave them. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. I know you do. Believe also in me." Luke is saying, "I've got this." And at the moment that you don't understand, at the moment you can't comprehend what's going on, trust God. He knows what's going on, and he's going to get you through. Then he said, "Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." "And I, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Folks, let me tell you, I've got good news for you. Heaven is not a heavenly Disney world. It's not an imaginary place where Mickey Mouse is. And though there's nothing wrong with that, I've been to Disney World. Been there one time, it was enough. For me, I stood in line for 45 minutes. I did. And I wanted to ride Space Mountain. That was what I thought I was in line for. And when I got to the front, I was in the water fountain line. Heaven is not an emotional Disney world. It's a real place with redeemed people, and the riches of glory all are there. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A lot of things I don't know about heaven, but of all the things I know, the sweetest of them is the Lord's going to be there. And we'll be with him forever and ever and ever. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, "Lord, I'm not quite sure I understand," but Jesus was saying, "Trust me on this one." When we were growing up, we used to sing these songs. I made myself a little note. "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land," and if I could sing it, I'd sing it. "I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land." There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. And the chorus in the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod? And Wayne Allen singing, "If we never meet again this side of heaven." What I want to leave you with this morning is just three or four simple little thoughts about heaven. When your hearts are broken and when life is overwhelming, it's good to realize that God's given us a promise of a place called heaven. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Hallelujah. I suspect the disciples began to wonder, "Lord, tell us a little bit more." Well, later on, John did. On the Isle of Patmos, I remember one day our little girl, Tina, who lives in Germantown now, her and her husband are the grandparents of four of our 10 grandchildren, and she's a precious joy of my heart. And she said, "Daddy," and she was a little bitty girl and must have had a lesson in Sunday school. She said, "Daddy, what's a Patmos?" And I said, "I don't know. I've never heard. Where did you hear about a Patmos?" She said, "Well, John was cast to a place called Patmos." He was on the Isle of Patmos. In chapter 21, exiled across the Aegean Sea because of his faith. John was exiled there and God gave him a vision. And listen, folks, what he's seen is just a glimpse of glory. And the half has not been told. And I saw in chapter 21 a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. I used to wonder, choir, what that meant. No more sea. But you see, the thing that separated John from his family was the Aegean Sea. The thing that separated him from his church family was the Aegean Sea. And he was so lonely on that island except for the grace of God. There'll be nothing there that separates us from our believers in Christ there in eternity. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and shall be their God." I love this one. I'm a squaller. I just get stirred in services and I sling snot and slobber and squall. And excuse me, that's not good preaching manners, but that's the way it is anyway. I'm a squaller. John said, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." God's going to have to rewire me. Now, when I get sad, I cry. When I get happy, I cry. When I get blessed, I cry. It's just who I am. God's going to wipe away all tears. There shall be no more death. Thank God. No more visits to the cemetery. No more trips to the grave. Neither shall there be any more sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." As we share together this morning just a few thoughts about our heavenly homecoming, I just want us to be focused for a moment on the thought of the promise of heaven. Dr. R.G. Lee, Bobby, who you're named after, incredibly the most incredible preacher I've ever heard in all of my life. I had the opportunity to sit across from Dr. R.G. Lee at a supper, an associational meeting years ago, and he was preaching his famous sermon, "Payday Someday," and he's already 92 or 93 years old at that time. My goodness. But Dr. Lee used to say that heaven is the most magnificent place the omniscient mind of God could have conceived. And heaven is the most marvelous place the omnipotent hand of God could have created. It's beyond our imagination. It's a real place made for redeemed people. The word heaven occurs 559 times in the Bible. It's not a state of mind. It's not a condition of mystical union between God and man. It's a real place. Heaven's spoken of as a city. The New Jerusalem, heaven spoken of as a country. I believe that you can take all the things in this old world that are beautiful. And heaven's going to be multiplied more than we can imagine. That time's more beauty and more wonder. I've seen the Grand Canyon. This is going to be a ditch compared to the glory of heaven. I tell you this. I've told you this before, but forgive me. I've been to Las Vegas. It was a Southern Baptist convention. I'd never seen. We didn't even have street lights where I grew up, and I went to Las Vegas. I'd never seen so many lights in all of my life. And I did mention this before, but I'll mention it again. Somebody always wants to know, "Brother Jackie, did you, when you went through that airport and saw all those slot machines, did you, when you went through the motel, didn't you went off and buy all those slot machines, did you just one time pull that one-armed bandit just to see what you could win? Did you? And I'd say, no, I did not even one time. So I say, why? Because if I had won anything, who could I tell? I could see the headlines of the local paper, "Fat preacher dies at slot machine, stricken dead by God." But heaven's going to be a city unlike anything we've ever known. I remember when Libby and I and our three little children, small then, drove out to Fort Worth, Dallas, to go to seminary, Southwestern Seminary. I'd never been to a big town before. I'd never seen Gale. I'd never seen the big town. Lord have mercy. You've been to Dallas, Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ah, but there is a city unlike anything we have ever seen before. That wonderful city of the New Jerusalem, a real place. Heaven's a country. A beautiful country. And the promise of heaven is, I've gone to prepare a place for you. By the way, God can't break His promise. He had never, He's never going to. And when the going gets tough, just remember, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
The best is yet to come. And I believe if Tim or any of our loved ones who've gone on ahead in the Lord could tell us, could speak to us, they say, don't worry about me, I'm all right. I'm all right. I've seen the city, I've seen the Savior, and I'll see you at that good, glad morning.
Amen.
I love that show, and I've mentioned this before to you, but I allow me to do so again. I love that show, The Waltons.
Yes.
Don't you like that show?
Yes.
You know, and I love the closing scene. It's always the same, with a few variations. The camera scans back and you see the house and you see the lights on in the bedrooms, and they begin to tell each other good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Yeah.
Folks, listen, down here it's not goodbye for the child of God. It's just good night. And I'll see you in the morning.
Amen.
And if you don't remember anything else, remember the promise of a place called heaven. And God gave it because His disciples were discouraged. They didn't think life would ever be worth living. Jesus said, let me tell you about a place called heaven. The perfection of that place, the psalmist called it the house of the Lord. Wish I could describe it to you. Alexander McLaren said, heaven is a place of indescribable splendor, blessedness, and peace. It's a place inhabited by perfect people. Dr. Lee said, it's the land of no. The land of no. No more sorrow. No more heartache, no more pain, no more disappointment, no more discouragement, no more suffering. The place where the Good Shepherd is, it's a place of perfect peace. It's a place promised by God. It's a perfect place. By the way, have you ever thought about the things that won't be in heaven? No hospitals. No funeral homes. A lot of other things they won't be there. And I want to tell you, it's because there won't be any need of them there. In fact, there won't be any more ice storms. You won't. By the way, I want to say thank you. This kind of departs from my message for a moment. But if you're one of those that called and checked on senior adults or shut-ins or friends that you knew might be without power, thank you. That's the ultimate in ministry. And thank you, thank you, thank you for calling and checking on people and ministering to them. Heaven. No more disappointment, no more loneliness, no more rejection, no more misunderstanding, no more criticism, no more temptation, no more weakness, no more night, no more death, no more disease, no more hurts, no more tears. It's the place where Jesus is. A perfect place. I can just mention this, but just try to imagine a place of perfect worship. I just want to say, choir, thank you. And to our singers and our instrumentalists, I say this all the time, thank you for blessing my socks off. I'll tell you, if it weren't for you, I'd bless 15 minutes. I'd preach 15 minutes shorter every Sunday. But you bless me so much, I just got to get it all in. Sometimes I get so blessed, I just want to say glory, hallelujah, amen, bless God. Can you imagine worshiping where angels make up most of the choir? In Dallas, Texas, the first time I'd ever been to Dallas, I went to a convention there, and there were 45,000 messengers. 45,000 people singing in the hallways of that Coliseum. And I'd never heard anything. I'd never heard more than 100 people sing together in my life. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in glory? A place of perfect worship. By the way, in heaven, if you want to have a spell, ain't nobody going to mind. It's going to be all right. And now, forgive me, I may get in trouble here. My wife would tell you I never was a dancer. In high school, we dated. I took her to my high school prom. I don't know what we did, but because I didn't dance, because I didn't. But sometimes when I'm worshiping, I want to move. I just want to have a running spell sometimes, Bobby, because I've been blessed. When I think about all the things God's done for us,
amen,
all the things He will do, a place of perfect worship, perfect service. By the way, do you know, if you don't enjoy serving God down here, you're not going to enjoy heaven. Because we're going to serve Him. And I believe God's going to give us assignments throughout the known or throughout the eternal universe and responsibilities. A place of service. A place of perfect relationships. Ain't nobody ever going to get mad at nobody anymore. Amen. Amen. And the devil won't be anywhere to be found. He will have been cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Perfect rest. Perfect knowledge. By the way, every once in a while, you ever have a thought that you wish God would answer for you a question? Libby's is, if she could ask God a question, she'd say, God, this is what she's told me, why in the world, Miss Sarah, God, why did you make mosquitoes? Now that's a deep theological question, isn't it? Deep, deep, Bruce. When we get there, it ain't going to matter. I believe all the things down here that were significant, we really want to, when we get to heaven, we're going to know even as we are known. The permanence of heaven, forever. It's a land where we never grow old. I found some of my pictures the other day, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when I had dark hair. Didn't have one of these. And I thought, what's happened? Now, don't you look so spiritual? Somebody's thought that about you. What's happened? That's all right. There's a land where we'll never grow old. There won't be any more arthritis, no more rheumatism, no more dementia, no more forgetfulness, no more pills to take, no more wheelchairs, no more walkers. A place where we'll never grow old. But you know, the most important thing I'd leave with you this morning has to do with the preparation for heaven. I can't imagine anything in the world more tragic than to live in the Bible Belt, to sit under gospel singing and gospel preaching, and slip out of this world without Jesus. I can't imagine anything more tragic. To one young man, Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven. And you see, the preparation for heaven is simple. Jesus has already paid the price. Died on the cross for our sins. Took upon himself our sin and was buried and rose again the third day. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I was at Southwestern Seminary, one of the classes that we took was evangelism under Dr. Roy Fish, who's now in glory, one of the godliest men I've ever knew. Dr. Fish, by the way, Dr. Fish, there was no Southern Baptist professor in any seminary that was more popular, more well-loved than Dr. Roy Fish. And here I am, an old nobody from Lacey Spring, Alabama, in his class. And he calls me one day, Jack, and he says, now, this will blow you away. Jackie, I'd like for you to lead the class on a certain day. I thought, Lord Jesus, Dr. Fish, man, I'm honored. I'm humbled. I'd be blessed to lead the class at Southwestern Seminary in evangelism. What do you want me to do? He said, well, I've got a cassette tape I want you to turn on after you pray. And it'll be the cassette tape. It'll be the class for that day. So I started putting it on my resume, taught at Southwestern Seminary. But you know, the greatest thing that will ever be said of us is, the greatest thing that we ever did was give our hearts and lives to Jesus. No matter what's on your resume, no matter where you've been, if you miss giving your heart to Jesus, and if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. And the question we learned in evangelism, and in evangelism explosion, was this, and with this I'm through. If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd have a home in heaven? And the other question is, if you were to stand before God today, and He were to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Jesus. If you can't say, I've given my heart to Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, I've invited the best way I know how Jesus into my heart and life, and Jesus is the Lord of my life. That is my only hope of heaven, but it's my sure, solid hope.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And remember this. Whatever else may come, heaven's a real place for redeemed people. And the best is yet to come.
Hallelujah.
Let's bow together.